This is the Happy Rant Sports Podcast, in which Ted Cluck and Barnabas Piper rant about old sports, new sports, sports books, sports movies, and anything else related to sports that they feel like. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Sports Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always by my good friend and partner in sports radio, Barnabas Piper. Pipe, I feel like we're doing a lot of radio here lately, and I like it. I'm excited that we had NBA stuff to talk about. We've got NFL season preview stuff to talk about today. But before we launch into any of that, I want to talk about Lagares Roasters coffee. Best coffee in the world. We haven't mentioned it on the program. Lagares is a longstanding business partner of the Happy Rant. It's one of the first big corporate mergers that we made as a company, partnering with one Hector Lagares, exotic coffee grower and roaster that he is. Lagares keeps us supplied with coffee as a program. They have many varieties. They have many different roasts from many different places in the world. So visit LagaresRoasters.com. Buy yourself a bag of Happy Rant Signature Blend. It is the best coffee you'll ever taste, and I'm actually enjoying a cup right now. So, Pipe, have you? What's been your experience with Lagares Roasters lately? Have you enjoyed?
So, my most recent experience actually was yesterday, which was at my church small group. So, I gave a couple bags to one of the families in our small group because they recently had twins, and I figured they are in need of energy and caffeination.
And their life is basically over for the next 18 years, so they're going to need a lot of Lagares Roasters.
They probably can't afford to buy anything themselves because babies are expensive, and they don't get any less expensive as they become, you know, adult children. So they actually brewed some up at small group, and it was a hit amongst everybody. They made me nervous though, because as they were getting ready, they pulled out a bag of Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Ooh.
And I was like, you're not about to serve that, are you? Because that's just a disservice to humanity.
Exactly.
And they said, no, my mother-in-law left this here. And I was like, okay, well, that's...
Dude, yeah, bags of mother-in-law coffee. We could probably do a whole segment on that point.
We could do like the mother-in-law coffee award for the NFL. I don't know who that would be, but it seems that seems like
something we should
do.
It would be the Bengals. Like, they're technically a pro football team, but they're not exciting. Like, you never want to consume it. You don't want to see it in your home or anywhere else.
And there's excessive amounts of orange involved.
There's excessive amounts of orange. Aesthetically, it's not pleasing at all. Yeah, it's the Bengals. That's the mother-in-law's coffee of the NFL. I love that category, Pipe. That's a good one.
Yeah, so that was my most recent Lagares experience, and it made for a much happier small group. Not that we're normally unhappy, but it made a good thing better. So,
dude, I love to think of a small group enjoying Lagares Roasters coffee, and maybe an entire small group ministry being built around Lagares Roasters, and the gospel and scripture, of course, but... I think those things can work hand in hand, and
it facilitates conversation and happiness and relationships and all sorts of good things.
Absolutely, and I know Heck Lagares will be excited to hear us talking about it again on the air. He shared with me that he sells coffee at this like farmer's market that we have in Jackson, which is kind of a big sort of hipster event every Saturday morning. And he said he's had people coming up to him talking about the Happy Rant and talking about having heard about his coffee on the Happy Rant, and people we don't even know, like not people from our church, just regular random people from the area who have come up and been listeners to the show. So Pipe, I feel like our empire is growing, and some numbers that you shared with me recently bear that out. So look for some new exciting mergers and acquisitions to happen
We have some fun things in the works.
We do. We have some really good things in the works, including Pipe. Our 2019 NFL season preview, and I know you're excited about the season. I'm excited. Rumor has it we're going to resurrect our fantasy league, so in spite of myself, I'm excited about that.
Didn't you swear off fantasy again, like halfway through the season last year?
I swear it off all the time. I swore it off almost every week last year, but doggone it, man, these keeper leagues, and this is the sinister like pathology of the keeper league. They get you excited because... even if your team was bad, you still have young guys with upside that you want to hang on to and want to see how.
Does your team have any young guys? Because I feel like you only drafted old guys and Leonard Fournette.
Dude, that was my thing. I drafted super old guys and super young guys. So you'll remember I got in on the Josh sweepstakes. Basically, every young quarterback named Josh I drafted for $1. So at one point I had Rosen, Allen. I had all the Joshes, but I dealt some of them. So I still have Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. And
so Josh Allen is a terrible real life quarterback, but I think he's going to do well in fantasy.
Dude, that's the thing. And it could be the same for Lamar too. Like, I think Lamar is going to put up mad numbers, and I just like him. So, if nothing else, I want to play another season of fantasy just to enjoy Lamar Jackson, who will probably like tear his Achilles in the first drive of the season since he's on my team.
But. So here's what I like about your drafting strategy. For somebody who's not deeply invested in like the fantasy football weeds, you have picked players you're interested in watching.
Absolutely.
Which means
dude.
That when you watch the Bills, when you watch the Ravens, which nobody really wants to do in most cases, you now have a reason. You have like a doubly vested interest. You're intrigued by these young quarterbacks, and if they do well, your team does better. That's a smart strategy as opposed to just trying to build a winning team.
Dude, my fantasy strategy drafting-wise is almost entirely tied to emotion. Like, I want to feel good about the guys that are in my clubhouse. I want to be excited about watching them every Sunday. So that's a big part of it. But Piper, we are going to take a deep dive into the weeds of each team, each division, and we're going to frame this within a discussion of 90s hip-hop, because 90s hip-hop is near and dear to both you and me. So I've taken some iconic songs. I've crafted some awards of distinction built around each 90s hip-hop song that we're going to use to work through each of the divisions. So let's just start in the AFC East, Piper. I want to start with the Milli Vanilli Award. And the Milli Vanilli Award goes to the fake or the imposter. So this is the team or the player that you think is getting too much hype, who's not real, who's fugazi, and they get the Milli Vanilli Imposter Award. So who is it for you in the AFC East?
AFC East. Oh, man. What a trash division.
It really is.
You know, I almost had to Google who's in the AFC East at this point because it's the Patriots and
the Patriots and everybody else.
Yeah. So let's see. The team that is getting too much hype,
or it could be a player. Even.
Yeah. Man, I'm gonna go. Well, I don't know if he's getting hype, but I think Le'Veon Bell is gonna be a colossal disappointment this year for the Jets.
I agree. I think that's a strong Milli Vanilli Imposter Award candidate. Yeah. Talk about it.
So he's obviously a really good player. He missed an entire season, which I don't know if that's a negative thing or not, because it means, you know, he's presumably healthy. It also means he's presumably a walking strained hamstring. He went from behind one of the best offensive lines in football with on a team loaded with passing
copious
weapons.
Receiving talent. Yeah, absolutely. Lots of other options.
A Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yep.
And a team that had learned how to use his really quirky running style. Because he's
good defense. So, you know, they're on the field. They're in good field position.
Yeah. So, I mean, he runs weird. He's so patient. He's sort of like the Aaron Rodgers of running backs in that he holds the ball and does weird things in the backfield longer than anybody else. He's just good enough to pull it off. So the Jets offensive line is mediocre at best.
Yep.
They don't have any receiving talent, actually. They have a bunch of like third receivers. They have a young quarterback who, I mean, best case scenario for him is maybe being Ben Roethlisberger someday, you know, like he becomes a franchise guy, but uneven rookie season. Hopefully he makes a big leap.
Yeah.
I really like him as a prospect.
I do too. I just hope he doesn't get ruined by the franchise that he's in.
And they paid Bell so much money that they're now in the situation of like, do they give him the ball 25 times a game or do they try to protect him to make his contract worth it? And he's somebody who's more valuable when he gets more touches, but he also gets more injured when he gets more touches. So as does anybody. So yeah, I think he will be a significant step down from what he was with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I agree. The Jets, they really threw a lot of money at a lot of kind of random parts this offseason, but I'm not sure they got markedly better as a team. So I think that is a strong Milli Vanilli Award. Piper, I want to stay in the realm of backs who do weird, long developing things in the backfield before they start going north-south. And this back that I'm going to talk about gets my Boys to Men End of the Road Award for who's done. So my Boys to Men End of the Road Award goes to Shady McCoy, LeSean McCoy, Buffalo Bills, another backfield dancer, has trouble getting north-south. I think his best days are behind him. He's averaged like 3.3 yards a carry the last two seasons. Had a little cup of coffee on my fantasy team last year. That was an ill-fated trade. I forget who I gave up to get Shady McCoy. I don't think it was much, but I think this player is done, man. I think he's shot. And ironically, he shares the backfield with the ageless Frank Gore, who's like 46 at this point and still still putting up numbers. So
yeah,
I think it's the end of the road for Shady. Do you have an AFC East end of the road award recipient, Pipe? Somebody else who you think is done or close to being done, player or team?
I feel like a bunch of the end of the road guys in that division sort of came to their end. Like the Dolphins got rid of a bunch of guys. The Bills got rid of a bunch of guys, although they still have two very old running backs.
Yep.
The Jets don't have any old players that I can think of.
No.
The Patriots have a bunch of old players, but apparently also have voodoo keeping them all healthy and playing. I think it's Josh Gordon. It's a different end of the road.
So different kind of end of the road.
He's still under contract with the Patriots. He has sort of an undetermined suspension league discipline thing. He showed last year that when he's on the field, he can still do some things. But I think I don't know if he's going to come back this year. And I think he's going to wash out. And it's unfortunate because he was so fun to watch, so dominant, and just
unbelievable talent.
His life. It's not so much the end of the road as like he went off into the ditch. And rough what I think will be the end for Gordon, but he would be my pick.
Dude, my son bought a Josh Gordon jersey last year. Although he got it on DHgate. Are you familiar with DHgate, Piper?
I don't. It sounds sketchy.
It's incredibly sketchy. it's this like overseas sweatshop thing where you can get NFL jerseys for like pennies on the dollar. And he ordered a Josh Gordon. It took like 6 months for it to get here, but it's awesome. So we're pulling for Josh to like right the ship and get back on the field this year for himself and for the Pats. So Piper, what about this next category? This is my Outcast So Fresh So Clean award for the top new talent or new team that you think is going to pop in 2019. Again, AFC East.
Man, that division. In other divisions, these would be so obvious. I feel like that division has been the exact same since 2001.
Dude,
which is the Patriots are the best, and everybody else is just trying to compete. I realize the Jets had a couple good years there with Rex Ryan. The Dolphins have been terrible since Dan Marino retired. The Bills haven't been good since Thurman Thomas.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just so new talent. Let's see.
I think it's going to be one of the Joshes for me for this one. It's going to be Josh Allen or Josh Rosen. I think a lot of Josh Rosen, actually. I know I'm in the minority there, but I think he's in a good situation with Brian Flores. They're in a rebuild. They know they're in a rebuild. They're not doing the Jets thing where they're just like throwing dumb money after old players. So, and I think Fitzpatrick is going to get to start, which is the right move. You don't want to start and then have Fitzpatrick on the bench behind you and have the fans clamoring for him. So I think they're going to start Josh Rosen at the right time. And I think we're going to see a nice season out of him, or at least a reason for hopefulness. So
I think he would be my pick as well, just for all the same reasons you gave. And I think we are so quick to give up on young quarterbacks. Think about Jared Goff after his rookie season under Jeff Fisher, and everybody's like, "Oh, he's a bust." Well, one season under Sean McVay, and all of a sudden he's a Pro Bowler. He's putting up spectacular numbers. I don't even know if he's good, but in that system he works.
Yeah, that's right.
I feel like Rosen can be that if he's in an adequate system. I don't know if they're an adequate system, and I don't know if they have any talent. But they're going to be better than last year's Cardinals, which is, it's not saying much, but it puts him in an opportunity to succeed. The one who I want to be the answer for this is Sam Darnold. I want Sam Darnold to be good so bad, because I want the Patriots to have competition. I love good young quarterbacks, and he's just a player who's fun to watch because he's kind of an unorthodox good quarterback. He doesn't sort of fit the elite camp sort of refined robotic quarterback thing. And I think that would be fun.
Piper, let's move to a new division, and I'm going to start with a new category. This is the SWV Week Award. Remember the song Week by Sisters with Voices from the 90s? It was kind of a deep
cut. If I heard it. It's hard for me to pull songs by title off the top of my head.
Do yourself a favor and YouTube it after we get off the air. You'll be glad you did. It's my favorite kind of like 90s R&B diva sort of deep cut. But
all right.
So the SWV Week Award, in my mind, goes to the team that's either overrated or the player who's an injury risk. And my SWV Week Award, it's going to the Cleveland Browns, Pipe. People are ready to anoint the Cleveland Browns. They're already fitting, like, everyone on their offense for a gold jacket in the Hall of Fame. They treat Baker Mayfield like he spearheaded this amazing, like, you know, Super Bowl run last year. But really, they just won a few games. And I like Cleveland, and I'm still bullish on Cleveland, but I don't think Cleveland is going to be the second coming. I don't even know if they make the playoffs out of that division, to be honest. So my SWB Week Award is going to the Cleveland Browns. Do you have any thoughts on that, or a different contender for that one?
And so we're staying in the division here, or are we going
staying in the AFC, okay. AFC North?
I'm going with the Steelers.
Interesting. I had the Steelers for another one, but okay. But yeah, talk me through that.
Well, injury risk for well, okay. Yep. So first of all, they just they let walk one of the top running backs in the league, or at least who had been with them, in Le'Veon Bell. Now, they didn't have him last year, and James Conner showed that he was pretty good. But Conner also is going to get run into the ground. Then they let go Antonio Brown, who was a top two or three receiver in the league. Ben Roethlisberger has talked about retirement for the last 11 years-ish. he is old. He is fat. And he's still talented, but like you look at how Tom Brady takes care of himself, and you go, oh, these are not the same aging quarterback.
Dude, Big Ben's physique is worse than mine. I looked at a picture of him yesterday. Somebody posted a picture of Big Ben like doing a radio interview with Charlie Batch, who retired like 10 years ago. Charlie Batch looks like he could still play, and Big Ben looks like the old guy who leads the small group at your church. I mean, it was laughable.
Yeah, but, Big Ben looks like the father of a current college quarterback. Like there was,
dude, he does. Yeah.
I went to church for a while when I lived in Illinois with Kent Graham, former was a NFL quarterback, backup quarterback. Yeah. His sons were like 6'4". One of them is actually on the Eagles now. His sons are like 6'4", like chiseled jawline, whatever. Kent looked like somebody who used to look like that.
Absolutely.
That's Big Ben. He looks like somebody who used to be an athlete, except that he's still playing NFL quarterback.
I love it.
And so there's – I think he's an injury risk. I think Connor's an injury risk. Their offensive line has been really good and really healthy. Well, how well is that going to hold up? Who knows?
That's right.
So that's right. I think the Steelers, who have had kind of a stranglehold on that division for a while, are at a real risk of being like 8-8.
I totally agree, and that leads me to my next category, my next team from the AFC North, Piper. The Vanilla Ice Under Pressure Award. This one goes to the team that I think is actually going to win that division, and it's the Baltimore Ravens. Under pressure specifically refers to John Harbaugh and what he's trying to do with that offense. He has said that he wants to kind of revolutionize the NFL offense. He wants to set records for rushing attempts. If Lamar Jackson's rushing attempts last year are any indicator, I think, you know, they're moving that in the right direction. As a lover of all things run game and all things Smash Mouth and all things 90s, I might get league pass just so I can watch the Ravens every Sunday. This is an exciting one for me. I do think, though, Harbaugh's going to be under a lot of pressure. Lamar's going to be under a lot of pressure. You know, the expectations are always high in Baltimore, and I think there's never been a better time for them to kind of grab control of that division away from the Steelers. So they are my recipient of the Vanilla Ice Under Pressure Award.
My favorite thing about this award is that that's not a Vanilla Ice song. He just lifted the riff.
He lifted it. Exactly.
So along with being under pressure, then there's also the added element of being a bit fake. I picked the Steelers for the overrated injury risk. I think I would pick the Browns for this one.
Okay.
In terms of under pressure, because they're last year's 49ers.
Yeah, that's true.
I think they're way more talented than that.
Yeah.
But they are the team who everybody has picked to make the leap. I mean, people were picking the Niners to go like 12-4 last year. You may not remember this. One of my only good preseason calls was that they would not do that and they would be a disappointment and that they were a year away. So we'll see how they are this year. But I think even if Baker is good, like 8-8, 9-7 is a massive leap for them from where they were 2 years ago. Yeah. It's a big step towards being adequate. But like, they have hotheads on their team.
Yep.
They have strong personalities. They have a ton of high draft picks. They have a questionable defense. Good defensive front, kind of weak in other places. I think that they have made too many announcements about how good they think they're going to be.
Absolutely.
And they've put the pressure on themselves. Whereas if they had sort of kept their head down, gone about their business, let media make speculation, and just sort of showed up to play, it might be a different story. At the same time, they could...
Dude, they're the Nelly of the AFC, AFC North.
But the thing is, they could go 12-4. Like, it's,
they could.
I'd be more surprised at 12-4 than 8-8. Mm-hmm. But there's a range of possibilities there.
Yeah, 12-4 is definitely the ceiling, but like 6-10 is not out of the question either. I mean, if OBJ's touches don't go the way he wants them to, if he splits the locker room, if Baker gets hurt, I mean, there's all kinds of scenarios in which this team is done.
Yeah,
they don't have a backup who can play. They're really done if Baker gets hurt. I don't know. I don't think they're there yet. You know, I don't think they're quite ready for prime time.
I will also say, I want them to be good.
Me too. I think it'd be a blast.
I want them to be fun to watch because Absolutely. Baker's an amazing, fun player to watch. OBJ is, love him or hate him as a personality, he is spectacular to watch. Nick Chubb is the kind of running back who just like, he fits the new NFL prototype, you know, 230 pounds, can be on the field for three downs if they want him to, way more explosive than I thought he was coming out of college. A lot of fun there. I think the biggest risk is that they have a not good offensive line. They lost one or two players. Last year, Joe Thomas retired. Yeah. And they haven't replaced those guys with anybody who's exceptional, which is hard to do. As a Vikings fan, I'm well aware of how hard it is to rebuild an offensive line. But
for sure,
that can tank an entire offense.
Absolutely. Dude, I forgot my favorite offensive line note from the AFC East was Ryan Khalil coming out of retirement to sign with the Jets. So one of the longtime great centers in the league had retired last season, and now he's back to block for Le'Veon Bell. So that'll make Jets fans happy. Piper, let's move to the AFC South. There are some very interesting teams in this division.
This is a fun division.
This is a fun one, including our hometown Tennessee Titans, who may be the most beige team in professional football.
The most baby blue team in NFL football.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's any 90s hip-hop song that applies to the Titans, really. I'm looking through my categories here, and I do want to start with the Titans. I don't think any of these apply to them. They're not under pressure. They're not fresh or clean. They're not done. Although, you know what? Let's start there. Boys to Men, End of the Road Award, and as much as it really kills me to say this, I think this is the year that Marcus Mariota is done as an NFL starter.
Yeah.
I think he will either be done because of injury or he'll be done because of the small injury he gets that allows Ryan Tannehill to get on the field, and then he will get Wally Pipped. Not that Tannehill is so great, but I think Tannehill is small gradations better of a grown-up NFL quarterback at this point.
Tannehill is at the very least like a 15-game starter, whereas Mariota is an 11-game starter. Out of those 11 games, six of those are good.
Yeah.
Five of them. And the thing about Mariota that's so just aggravating, aside from the fact that he is perpetually injured, is there is no middle ground in his game. Like, you watch really good quarterbacks –
yep.
When they have a bad game, they still figure it out. They can figure out how to put together a drive. You know, there are those games where Brady, you know, goes like 22 for 40 passing or whatever. It doesn't happen often, but in the past it's happened. But of those 22 completions, four or five come on key drives.
Absolutely.
You know, and consecutively. Mariota's hot garbage, or he throws for 400 yards.
I know it, man. I know it. There's very little middle ground there, and I think the Titans are gonna look for some consistency out of that position. So this could be the end of the road for one Marcus Mariota.
I have a pick for the Titans as well, and that is the Milli Vanilli overrated. What was the song? It was it equated to overrated, but I can't remember the name of the song.
Yeah, I don't know if I have the name of the song either, but yeah, they're overrated. They're an imposter. They're a fake.
Well, I'm gonna attach this to a particular player, and that is Derrick Henry.
Okay, talk about it, because he's a He's a potential keeper in my fantasy backfield, Piper.
Derrick Henry is the running back version of Marcus Mariota.
Interesting.
He puts up all of his stats in 25% of his games.
Dude, that's so true.
Because always the last five games of the season after the division has already been decided and they're not like the team,
and everybody else has given up.
Yeah, the other team, he's going to run for 212 yards and two touchdowns against a team that's resting their starters for three quarters or
that's
something
right.
like that. And he's going to put up 800 yards in 5 weeks. And so his season total looks great, except that he had 400 yards in the first like 13 weeks or whatever.
Dude, I can't tell you how many games his stat line was like, you know, 19 carries for 41 yards and no touchdowns.
The 16 for 39 or 17 for 48 with a touchdown or no touchdowns. And he's not even a good short yardage back. He weighs 1,100 pounds.
He's a big back who runs like a small back, which I hate. That is a huge pet peeve for me.
Do you remember? His name was Chris something or other. He played for the Titans. He was a 2,000-yard rusher.
Oh yeah, Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson. Yep. Yeah, I couldn't remember because it's a boring name.
Yep.
Derrick Henry is like a slow Chris Johnson in that he depends entirely on getting
it's got to be blocked up perfectly,
a large gap and a breakaway run. Yeah. And except Johnson ran like 4.24 or something like that, and Henry doesn't. So, he's just – I think he falls firmly in the overrated category. He's going to disappoint fantasy owners. He's going to disappoint Titans fans.
Absolutely.
I think the Titans are going to go 8-8 again, maybe.
Yeah, 8-8 I think is the ceiling, honestly.
Yeah.
And offensive line note, they're going to be without left tackle Taylor Lewan for the first four games of the season, which is not going to help – the Derrick Henry experiment
or the Marcus Mariota health experiment.
Absolutely. So Piper, that brings me to my Vanilla Ice Under Pressure Award.
Mm-hmm.
And this one goes to a player who's near and dear to my heart, who I know you don't like. And that's one Lynn Fournette. I think Lynn Fournette is under a lot of pressure this season to show that he can be an every down NFL back, to show that he can get through a season relatively in one piece. And to show that he can be the superstar that the Jacksonville Jaguars drafted him to be. Now, on the positive side, this could be the first season that Leonard Fournette is going into completely healthy. He's had issues his last couple of seasons that have kept him on the bench or kept him at some level not 100%. So I'm excited to see what Leonard Fournette will do behind some of the offensive line acquisitions they've made. And hopefully going into a season 100% healthy. Your thoughts, Piper, on Fournette?
Well, to clarify, I don't dislike Leonard Fournette. I really disliked that they picked him, and I think he was number 4 overall, because that's not a good spot to pick a running back. and especially with – just in terms of how players are valued and what you can find at different spots in the draft, that's a bad place to get it.
Yeah.
I think he has suffered from two other things, one of which is – minimal skill talent around him, and the second is the worst quarterback in the NFL, period. Blake Bortles was garbage as a quarterback. That's not a statement about him as a human. and so I think Fournette stands a chance to have a really nice bounce back year, because Nick Foles, while overpaid, is an entirely competent NFL quarterback. And
he's an adult. He's a grown-up. Like, his bad games aren't going to be as bad.
Yes, and the leap from garbage quarterback to professional NFL quarterback who's, like, middle of the pack is, I mean, that's like a 4 or 5 win leap, easy.
Yeah, it's a huge leap. Absolutely.
And they were already a competitive team because the defense was so good and because they could figure out how to score some points here and there. So I think Foles, I still think they don't have any good receivers, but I think Foles can figure out how to make some of that work. I am really, really skeptical about DeFilippo as their coach, though, because
you've had a DeFilippo experience.
And to be fair, there are coaches who learn, like, they get better as they go. Bill Belichick got fired from the Browns and was, you know, before he kind of learned how to be a great coach. And that's not to compare D DeFilippo to that. But that, I mean, that happens. And so maybe he has learned something. Maybe he's just a stubborn guy who's going to keep trying to do the same thing, and it's not going to work. Like, if they try to run Fournette out of the shotgun, it's passing every down, it's whatever, which is kind of what they did with the Vikings. It's not going to go well. But if he balances his offense a little bit and, you know, gives Fournette a chance to be a bell cow while also having enough chance so that he's not getting injured, they could be pretty good. And that defense is nasty when they're healthy.
They are nasty. They are fun to watch. Piper, real quick in this division, and then we'll move on. My SWV week award is the Houston Texans backfield. Like, who
I was
going to
go with their offensive line, but yeah.
Lamar Miller? Like, Alfred Blue? I mean, who are we
looking
at?
Alfred Blue's not
on
that team anymore.
Okay, all right.
I don't think Lamar Miller has a backup, because they just cut, was it Deontay Foreman or whatever his name was?
Yeah, Deontay Foreman is cut.
So he's cut. Alfred Blue went and is now backing up somebody else. I can't remember who, but he wasn't good anyway.
Dude, you know who Alfred Blue is backing up? Leonard Fournette.
Oh, so Leonard Fournette's going to get all the carries. Good for him.
Which is apropos, you know, apropos in that I think Alfred Blue is a poor man's, a very poor man's Leonard Fournette. But, dude, my note on the Texans is, why are they not trading for Lamar Gordon? Why aren't they not trading for
Melvin Gordon?
Yeah, Melvin Gordon. My bad. I was thinking about, Melvin Gordon. Why aren't they making that trade? So Melvin Gordon's a holdout. It looks like L.A. doesn't want to pay him. To me, Houston is just a few pieces away, you know, from being a legit contender, one of which is their backfield. It seems to me that would fill a hole, but they do have offensive line issues.
And that's the thing is, like, I think Houston, keep Lamar Miller.
Yeah.
Like, let's just leave him as is. And their current wide receiver core, which is really strong. You got DeAndre Hopkins, who is the best contested catch receiver in the NFL, and Will Fuller, who's really good for 9 games a year until he pulls a hamstring. And then, what is it, Kiki Kuti, who has one of the most fun names. That offensive line has been bad for 2 or 3 straight years, and they've done nothing to address it. Like, literally nothing. They've drafted guys, they passed up guys in the top couple rounds, and then started filling it up with guys that are like, well, we're counting on this small school project guy to improve the line. And that falls in the weak category. And then the under pressure one for them, I'm going to put firmly on their coach.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
He's been on the hot seat for a while, and I think it's going to heat up fast if they are not good. The problem is, that is a tough division. Like, the Titans are not good, but they can compete with anybody on a given
Sunday. They're a tough out. Yeah, they're not an easy Sunday for sure.
I would not be surprised to see Indianapolis in the Super
Bowl. I know. We haven't talked about them.
I would not be surprised to see Jacksonville on a Super Bowl run, but because their defense is so good, and if their offense is adequate, they can do that. Indianapolis, probably the best team in that division. Houston can be that good, but they might also be a 7-win team depending on health.
Absolutely. So real quick, my
under pressure is on their coach and front office for sure.
My So Fresh So Clean award in that division, Marlon Mack. Running back, Indianapolis Colts. This guy quietly put up some great numbers last year. I think he's going to benefit from another year with Andrew Luck, another year with Frank Reich, who I think is one of the rising stars. Really, Frank Reich could get the Outcast So Fresh, So Clean award. Mm-hmm. You could give it there. You could give it to Quentin Nelson, my favorite, you know, non-skill position player in the league right now. Just so much fun to watch.
I would give it to their GM. His name is Ryan something or other, Griggs maybe?
Yeah.
And 2 years ago, that team was an injured Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton, and essentially nothing good.
exactly.
And they had no talent on defense. You know, he has rebuilt that team in such a way that he hired Frank Reich kind of by accident, because Josh McDaniels was supposed to be the coach.
Yeah.
Luck got healthy. That's a big deal because he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Built a backfield, built an offensive line, built a defensive line, and a linebacker core. Their defensive backs, I think, are solid, not great, but it's a functional unit. And so somehow in 2 years, they went from a team with Andrew Luck, which is a great starting point if he's healthy, to one of the most well-rounded teams in the NFL. They're sort of Philadelphia Eagles light.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I totally agree.
It's crazy. So
it is crazy.
I think he gets the So Fresh, So Clean.
No, I agree. It could have gone to a lot of guys on that team. A resurrected Eric Ebron, I mean, who really saw his career rescued by the Colts and Frank Reich. I mean, fascinating team. Really fun watch, too. Yeah. All right, Pipe, let's start moving a little more quickly through these because I know we're getting bogged down because we're having so much fun with it. But AFC West, I want to start with my Boys to Men End of the Road Award, Denver Broncos. I think the Broncos are done, man. I think they are getting long in the tooth defensively. At some point, as a pass rusher, their elite guy, who's their elite? Von Miller's going to fall off the cliff a little bit. They kind of brought in the Joe Flacco Band-Aid in the offseason. The only thing that gives me hope about the Broncos is Vic Fangio, who I think is a really, really elite coach who can get a lot out of that team. But I think they're essentially done. Your thoughts on that team or on another team in the conference?
Yeah, I generally agree. If the Broncos are going to be competitive, it's because Fangio will do with that defense the same thing he did with the Bears defense last year, where they went from a few talented players but kind of a mediocre unit to elite. And I think they have talent to do it. I don't know how long they can do it, though. I also don't know that they have the same back end, like defensive backfield talent that the Bears did. So we'll see. Fangio's phenomenal. I really like their running backs too. I think on offense they have Noah Fant, who's a tight end they just drafted, and then a pretty deep backfield. So if they can get creative and on offense, they could do okay. But Flacco's terrible. Flacco's a terrible quarterback. He hasn't been good in like 6 years, and John Elway gets the under pressure award for them because he should get fired if they don't make the playoffs this year. Because he has consistently made just like taken swings at quarterbacks that have all been bad, aside from Peyton Manning.
Dude, what a dilemma. I mean, to imagine that the great John Elway, Denver Broncos legend, could be losing his job at the end of the season. It's a scenario that nobody in Denver really wanted to think about, but you're right. I mean, he hasn't been great as a GM, and although he did bring in, you know, the corpse of Peyton Manning to help, you know, win them a Super Bowl.
I mean, Peyton Manning put up huge numbers 1 year, and then the corpse the second year. And he got him a title. And that's the thing is, like, you get a title and you get a several year run of sort of like you just get carte blanche.
Bad decisions. Yeah.
But his carte blanche has deconstructed the team, not transitioned them into anything else.
Yeah. And it's the quarterback drafts. I mean, the quarterback drafts have been just abysmal. And I think if he gets fired, it will be because of that. Piper, let's look at the rest of the division. SWV Week Award, to me, Antonio Brown. He's going from a great offense in Pittsburgh, which you outlined before, you know, complimentary pieces, great run game, world-class Hall of Fame level quarterback. And he goes to Oakland where the track is bad. It's a bad field. Question marks at quarterback, question marks on the offensive line. He's the only show in town. I think this is going to be a back to earth type year for Antonio Brown, who's getting a little long in the tooth anyway.
Yeah.
Receivers tend to hit a wall. I don't think we're going to see the numbers out of Antonio Brown that we've seen before. I also think he's going to get frustrated and pout and quit on his team pretty early on. What are your thoughts on that team, Pipe?
Well, I was going to give the week award to John Gruden. So
there you go.
I think this is. He could also get the under pressure award because, you know, he's in year two of a 10-year, $100 million contract. Year one did not go well. He's sort of reshaping the team and the image that he wants. But every evaluator in the league looks at it and goes, what are they doing? Who did they sign? Why are they signing those guys? Like, this is not how you should spend money. So I think Gruden gets the week award. I think Oakland is which Carr brother is there? Derek Carr?
Derek Carr.
Whatever. They're the same guy. If Derek Carr puts it together, they're a competitive team. If he doesn't, they're a four-win team.
Yeah.
And I don't know where the four wins come from because the rest of that division, like, I think Denver will struggle this year and be uneven, but they're good.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Chargers are phenomenal, and I think the Chiefs are probably – they would probably be my AFC Super Bowl pick.
Yeah,
if I had to pick one, so
a lot of pressure there too.
Yeah, so
I mean, consider though the fact that John Gruden has traditionally gotten a lot out of mediocre quarterbacks. So I would take heart if I was an Oakland Raiders fan.
I mean, we say traditionally, but like that
it was a long time ago.
That was
a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean that that's like comparing Dwight Howard's, you know, peak years to like current NBA, you know, in terms of the game is just not the same. You can't even play the same way anymore. I don't know if Gruden can or has made adjustments to current rules, to current strategies, to how it works, to matching up with defenses the way they are. Yeah. I mean, he's not dumb by any means. The question is he just sort of too arrogant and stubborn?
Yeah. No, it's a great question. It'll be interesting. Pipe, let's move to the NFC. Let's go NFC East. And I'm looking at these teams. You know, Philly to me is elite. They could be your NFC Super Bowl representative easily. Washington, this is going to be the last year of the Jay Gruden experiment, I think, and that the wheels are kind of already falling off with Trent Williams not being in camp. I think it's going to be a rough year for Dwayne Haskins.
I don't think Dwayne Haskins should start. I think he should sit because they have a bad offensive line because they got what's his face was on the Vikings, then on the Broncos.
What position?
Quarterback.
Oh, Case Keenum.
That's the one. I should remember this. Yeah. So they have Keenum now, and I think
Keenum should be the sacrificial lamb for the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season.
He should do the same thing that they're doing. They should do the same thing that they should do in Miami, which is give these mediocre quarterbacks, you know, either start them until the bye, start them the first 4 games, start them something like that, and then bring the young guys in. But yeah, that's just. They're a bad team. They have some talent, but they're poorly constructed. They're sort of the New York Knicks of the NFL in that they will never be good as long as they have that psycho owner who meddles in everything, who dabbles in stuff. I mean, I guess Dallas is a little bit more New York Knicks-y. The difference is they've had some success and New York hasn't. But I think that in terms of psychotic, unlikable ownership, Daniel Snyder and James Dolan should be good buddies.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, this is Philly's division. And it is. So, like, they win all the positive awards.
Yep.
And every award for pressure, weak, whatever, goes to someone else. I think the end of the road goes to Eli Manning, circa 2017.
Yeah, he should have gotten that award too.
So I'm not sure what he's doing now, but the end of the road award went to him 2 years ago, and somehow he's still going to be run out there.
Dude, it might be the end of the road for Zeke Elliott in Dallas. This is going to be a very interesting running back case study in that you've got an elite guy. That, you know, if this was 1997 or whatever, and it was Emmitt Smith's contract that came up, Emmitt had a long holdout. Jerry ended up paying him. It ended up being the right decision. But again, that was 1997 football versus what does it look like in 2019? I mean, do you pay an Ezekiel Elliott based on, you know, the track record and the performance that he's had, but knowing that that's not really how the game is trending anymore? I don't know, you know, maybe you call that a replaceable part. And maybe it is based on what the Rams were able to get done, even with a limited Todd Gurley last year. Maybe you don't pay Zeke Elliott. So I think there's a lot of pressure in Dallas. There's a lot of pressure on Jerry Jones right now. He may get my Vanilla Ice Under Pressure Award, for this conference. My Outcast So Fresh So Clean Award goes to the Dallas Cowboys linebacking corps. This is one of the funnest position groups in football to watch right now.
Especially when Sean Lee is healthy.
Dude, when Sean Lee is healthy, Leighton Vander Esch is a fun player. He looks like Brian Urlacher 2.0 to me. Jalen Smith is so fast. So he had the horrific knee injury at Notre Dame. They still kind of rolled the dice on him. Everybody thought they were stupid for doing it. But, I mean, he's a Miles Jack type athlete when he's right.
He could easily be... You know, sort of, there's not a lot of off, like, non-pass rushing linebackers who are standouts at this point. Sorry.
Kind of a Bobby Wagner type.
Yeah, Bobby Wagner. Carolina's had those guys for several years that are just Keekly and Thomas Davis, who's now retired. But like he's in that vein, and he is unbelievable. That's the thing about that linebacking core that's crazy is that they can do all of the things for linebackers. Like Vander Esch can drop and cover, but big enough, strong enough to be a pass rusher. And they can cover every bit of ground, which makes up for a fairly mediocre defensive line. And takes a lot of pressure off what's an okay secondary, but not great.
You know what Dallas has done intelligently, though, is really building out the middle of the field well. Dallas has a great offensive line. They have had for several years. I think it's covered a lot of deficiencies and kind of the the Dak Prescott learning curve and even Zeke. I mean, Zeke, for as great as he is, he's benefited from that great offensive line. I don't know that he's as great somewhere else. So Dallas has done a really commendable job, I think, of making sustainability through kind of building out the middle of the field that way. Piper, let's move into
division. Can I make a quick statement on a quick comment on Zeke Elliott? I think under no circumstances should Dallas pay him.
Yeah, I don't think they will either.
I think they should offer him the contract that they want, but they need to repay that offensive line. They need to continue to build the defense. They're still short on skill position players outside of running back and Amari Cooper, who's, I don't know if Amari Cooper's good. He was for a few games last year, but that's generally the case.
I think he's a good number two receiver in the NFL.
I think paying running backs like that, you're locking up a position that has relatively little impact for a large percentage of your salary cap, and that's dumb. They should just refuse to pay him what he wants to get paid. They should say, this is what we're offering, take it or leave it. He can hold out if he wants to, pull a Le'Veon Bell, and then he can be like Bell and go to a team that's going to be not as good for him, because part of the reason he's good is because that offensive line has been one of the better ones in the NFL. And if he goes and signs with, I mean, I don't know, Cincinnati or Buffalo.
Say. Green Bay or Buffalo.
He's going to be, 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns, banged up, not worth the money. Like, that's football.
Absolutely. Pipe, let's move into our division, all right? The NFC North, near and dear to both of our hearts as upper Midwesterners by birth and sort of formative years. I want to start with my Boys to Men Into the Road Award, and this one is easy for me, and it's the Packers. I think the Packers are done.
It makes me so happy. Like, my heart just leaps within me to hear you say that.
Their bold stroke this offseason was hiring the architect of the worst offense in the league last year. So the great Matt LaFleur, who came via the Tennessee Titans, who we had the misfortune of having to watch on local television every Sunday afternoon, do absolutely nothing creative offensively. And LaFleur, whose agent really must be – like, his agent gets the superstar 90s hip-hop award for parlaying that into a head coaching job for Matt LaFleur. So I don't think it's going to be pretty in Green Bay.
Yeah, I don't know if Matt LaFleur has any connection at all. Wasn't he like Sean McVay's quarterback's coach or something like that?
I think so.
Okay, yeah, so Sean McVay should get 2/3 of his money.
Yeah.
1/3 should be given to charity because he is absolutely riding the young offensive genius coattails with no evidence that he's actually a young offensive genius.
Yeah, he's young, and he coaches offense.
Yeah, he's young for an NFL coach, and and he's on that side of the ball. Everything about him does not line up with what Aaron Rodgers does well.
Yeah.
Like, you don't bring in a coach who is the same age as your quarterback and say, hey, let's completely revolutionize how you have turned yourself into one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Exactly.
And, yeah, I see that. Aaron Rodgers is a cantankerous, stubborn person who knows what he wants to do, for better or worse. And I don't see that being a match made in heaven. I would love to see them be terrible. I would take great pleasure in Aaron Rodgers heaving balls out of bounds because he's under pressure or because nobody's open, and then just getting a 15-yard penalty because he slams his helmet on the ground and then storming off the field and berating his coach. Like, the whole scenario is just – it's my Sunday dream for the fall.
It's going to be an interesting thing to see burn to the ground, that's for sure. And I think we will enjoy it. Piper, this one is going to hurt, and there's going to be pushback on it. So I'm ready. I'm just going for it. My Milli Vanilli Fake Imposter Award goes to your quarterback, Kirk Cousins.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah, received a huge payday. They paid him like an elite quarterback. I don't think he is one. I think you will be hampered by him down the stretch when games are important, when it's playoff time, any game in prime time. Kirk Cousins is going to be a millstone around your neck. And it's a shame, though, because my So Fresh, So Clean award is your new center, Garrett Bradbury from NC State, who we talked about in the draft episode. I do think your offensive line will be much improved. I hope your running back can stay healthy. He's a lot of fun to watch when he's healthy.
I think Dalvin Cook is the – he's not under pressure because he hasn't – like nobody's really paying that much attention, but he,
yeah,
I'm going to take a risk and put the So Fresh and So Clean on him.
Okay.
Because
I like that.
So they have,
I would like to
they
see
have Gary Kubiak coming in as sort of the architect of that offense. Kevin Stefanski is the offensive coordinator, but Kubiak is sort of the architect. They have made moderate but significant steps to turn a bad offensive line into a functional NFL one. I think Brian O'Neill, the right tackle, is going to be very good this year. Bradbury is, I think, going to be – he's going to start out okay and get better just because he's a rookie.
Jason Kelsey-esque to me.
Yeah.
Which is a huge compliment.
I mean, every evaluator for every team, every NFL coverage network said he's a surefire NFL success.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they needed.
Yep.
And then this, so it's a lot of like, it sets Cook up for success. They have great receivers. It takes pressure off of Cousins to be like the playmaker because it's play action oriented. It's a little bit more multifaceted. They also got Irv Smith, that's the tight end out of Alabama. If he comes along, like, kind of adds a different facet to that offense. But I think Cook, even if he's a, 15 rush and like 3 to 4 catch a game guy, is going to make enough big plays that he really catches people's eyes. Because he runs like LeSean McCoy.
He does.
In terms of he's a little bit stronger and can break tackles a little bit more, whereas McCoy was a bit more sort of agile, juke guys out of their shoes. But he's insane in the open field.
He's
so
very
fun
good.
To watch.
Very, very good. Pipe quickly, my Vanilla Ice Under Pressure Award, Mitchell Trubisky. I think this is a make or break year for Mitch. I think the Bears could be in very much the same kind of space as the Vikings are in the sense that the rest of their roster is really, really good, but they might be held back by limitations at quarterback. So I think Trubisky has a little bit more ceiling than Cousins. We've kind of seen what Kirk Cousins is, whereas I think, you could talk yourself into being a little more optimistic about Trubisky, but I'm not sure, that team could really be held back by whether or not he continues his development at the quarterback position. Quickly, my last one on this division. So Fresh, So Clean. I'm going with an underdog here just because I think everybody is sleeping on this team and there's a little bit of upside there that I see, and it's Detroit.
I think you're going with the whole team for this award, or like particular aspects?
I'm going with the whole team. I think people are sleeping on this team and writing them off. And I think year two, Matt Patricia, some intriguing offseason acquisitions. I don't know. I think the Lions are going to be better than we think. Kerryon Johnson year two, some of the O-linemen they've drafted. Like I would be guardedly optimistic. I don't think they're going to be last place in the division. They could be a really good team and still be 7-9. You know what I mean? Just because that division is so strong potentially with with Chicago and Minnesota kind of fighting it out for the top team. So am I crazy?
I think their offense is just a huge question mark because they came in and they had done something with relative success for a long time. Stafford was a 5,000-yard passer, tons of – it was a lot of empty calories, but a lot of yards. And last year they were bad. They're just a bad offense. I kind of think they're the year-away team as well.
Yeah.
Like you're going to see signs this year that they look like a professional football team, but they're not going to win a lot. So I think, I think like 6 wins-ish, 6-7 wins. But the kind of signs that you go, with a little bit more, the right draft picks, the right free agent signings, a little bit more knowledge of how this offense runs, they could compete. And if Green Bay is going the opposite direction and either Kirk Cousins or Mitch Trubisky falls off a cliff or we just determine they're just not that good, which is a possibility. I think Cousins is what he is. Trubisky's a question mark.
Yep.
Detroit next year could be, I don't know, like they could be wild card next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they could, man. They absolutely could. I like that. All right, Pipe. Our time is drawing to a close. We got two more divisions to go. AFC South. Does anybody even care about this division at all besides
you
the Saints?
NFC South. So we got Saints, Carolina.
Falcons, Panthers, and Bucks.
Okay. So here's my hot take on this division. And that is that I think Carolina wins the division.
Yeah, I like it.
So they get my So Fresh, So Clean.
Yeah, I like it. Healthy Cam, great Christian McCaffrey. I agree. I think that's
improved
a team
receivers and a defense that has added a couple players. I think the Saints should far and away be like the betting favorite, but as a sort of underdog pick, I'll take Carolina to go like 11-5 and win the division.
There you go. Yeah,
so
I'm not going
to
argue with that.
Clean, and I think the Saints are a year away from end of the road, but I think this is their last year as a competitive team.
I think the Falcons are done. End of the road for the Falcons.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan is just a better Kirk Cousins to me.
Yeah, and the week award, the SWB week award, that goes to Jameis Winston.
Totally, dude.
I love Bruce Arians as a coach. He was a ton of fun with the Cardinals. I like a lot of their weapons. And he's just a terrible quarterback. And it doesn't matter who coaches him. He's going to throw 17 times to the other team during the course of the season. Good luck, Bucks.
Yeah, he's done. This is the end of that quarterback class. Like Winston, Mariota, they're both done this year.
Yeah, this is the Christian Ponder, you know, Blake Bortles.
EJ Manuel, Blake Bortles.
It's not quite that bad because at least these guys started some games and put up some numbers, but like it was a bad class.
Totally agree. All right, Piper, last one. Let's go NFC West.
Ooh.
So we got Arizona, Los Angeles, San Fran, and the Seahawks. Fun division. This is going to be a league pass division.
Yeah.
If you like offense, if you like interesting players, interesting young guys, we've got Jimmy G coming back. So to me, I don't know if he qualifies for so fresh, so clean, but he's definitely vanilla ice under pressure. I think there's a lot of pressure on Jimmy G to show that he was worthy of all the hype from a couple of years ago.
And the money.
And the money. Kyle Shanahan offense. All the pieces are in place for Jimmy G, but it's time for him to put up. But it's going to be fun to watch.
See,
for sure.
I'm going to go Rams offense for under pressure.
Yeah, they could have gotten it
because you got Gurley with a kind of an undetermined severity of his knee injury.
Yep.
By the end of the year, teams were figuring out that offense. So the things that they tore people up with for about 3/4 of the season didn't work at the end. And yes, they made it to the Super Bowl. Yes, it was a close game. That has as much to do with the fact that they had a very talented defense because their offense was not crushing at that point in the season. So offensive genius Sean McVay is going to have to make some adjustments to keep that thing ticking along. Granted, they have good receivers. They have a quarterback who, when things are functioning on time, can get the ball to them. They have a solid offensive line. If they're healthy, it's a bunch of old guys. So I think the under pressure award goes to Rams offense.
Yeah, I like it, dude. The Fresh Look Clean award goes to my acquaintance, Cliff Kingsbury, new head coach, Arizona Cardinals, kind of a controversial hire in that he had just gotten fired from his college team and was the offensive coordinator at USC for just a hot minute. And then Arizona comes in and snatches him away. Going to be fascinating to see what sort of a quote-unquote air raid scheme looks like in a pro setting. Truthfully, I think we've already seen it in New England's. New England's is going to look different than Cliff's because Cliff has a running quarterback. But my kind of object of fascination in that offense is what they do with David Johnson. Mm-hmm. David Johnson was a forgotten man last year, which was a function of just some criminal offensive coordinator behavior as it pertains to David Johnson.
Oh, man. They used him like he was John effing Riggins.
Exactly.
I listened to a statistic. I think it was on the Ringer NFL podcast.
Yeah, between the tackles.
It was between the guards.
Between the guards. Yeah,
it
you're
wasn't
right.
Even
the
between
A-gaps.
The tackles. Yeah. Like they had like a 9-foot space that they ran him into 70% of the time.
You take one of the best NFL athletes in space and make him run in no space. Just criminal behavior. So, I mean, if this is traditional air raid, the logic goes that the line splits are going to be wide. Cliff's going to spread the field out, make the defense defend the whole 52. And that should open up running lanes for David Johnson. So it should be interesting to see.
Here's what I think is going to happen with them. Whenever they play a bad team, they are going to put up significant points. And they have enough playmakers between Johnson and they have some speed on the outside that they're going to score some points, but good defenses are going to beat the bejeebers out of them. And they are going to, then the question is, can Kingsbury make adjustments to play kind of by NFL rules? Cause this is a little bit like back when Miami ran the Wildcat and stuff like that, where they caught teams off guard for a while, and then they were like, oh, we watched two games of film on this. We know how to stop this.
So we know that Darren McFadden's not going to pass the football. You know?
I mean, I think Arizona will figure it out because they do have talent. I think Murray is really good or will be. I think they're fun.
My take on Arizona, I think they're going to be super fun to watch, and they're going to go 5-11. You know, like they're just a year or two out. Yeah. I like the trajectory. Like I really
they
think
they don't have any talent. Like, their defense is bad. They
exactly.
Still
have,
they
the
still
roster is
Peterson,
not there.
But like their defense is bad. They don't have a ton of offensive talent. They're like, kind of everywhere is one or two additions away from being a strong unit, but none of them are strong units. Yep. I think Seattle's the fascinating team here.
I agree.
I think they could win the division.
Dude, Pete Carroll might be the best coach that we kind of never talk about.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's all about, you know, these young guys and these offenses and
Bill Belichick.
And Belichick. Yeah.
And
it's either
Reed.
The young guys or Belichick. But man, Carroll has like, he's kept that thing good for a really, really long time without having to do a really severe teardown.
Yeah.
He's been able to kind of churn the roster such, and this is Belichickian, right? I mean, in the sense of, you're kind of always churning. You're always trying. You're never tanking. You're never doing the complete teardown. I think Pete Carroll's to be commended for that. You know, they've really done a nice job.
Well, and they've invested money in really strategic ways. So they obviously built the Super Bowl team when Russell Wilson was making like $11 an hour.
Exactly.
But then he had to get paid, and so they started investing differently. And so for a while it was sort of a scrap heap offensive line and pouring into the defense. Then it was replacement with some inexpensive defensive guys, but they've never overpaid the running back position.
Yep.
They've never overpaid the receiver position, which is receivers get paid a lot, but I think the next couple of years is going to show that that's a lot like paying running backs.
Yeah.
You know, in that, and in fact, they might impact the game a little bit less. It's just that passing is more heavy. And so they've figured out how to do that without ever being bad. And it really helps when you have a top, you know, 5 or 7 quarterback in the league who's uniquely talented. But I wouldn't be surprised if they went 11-5 this year.
I can see it.
I think it's a tough division, so it might be tough to pull it off. 10-6 might win that division because there's so much, a lot of teams splitting home and home or something like that. But, I think San Fran is not going to be as good as people think. 9-7, maybe.
I agree.
I think Los Angeles drops back to maybe 10-6, 9-7, and I think Seattle could win that division.
I think they could too. Yeah, and you know, it's not the sexy pick, right? Everybody wants it to be, you know, San Fran or the Rams or whatever. But I think you're right. Seattle is the kind of the sleeper hit, man. Everybody's kind of moved on mentally from Pete Carroll and the Seahawks, but they could be a great pick. Piper, this has been a blast, man. It's been fun to wander to and fro throughout the NFL landscape via some 90s hip hop songs. any parting shots, man? Anything remaining that you want to say about the season?
Well, I think we should go on the record making. I think we need to make a Super Bowl pick each.
So
we need to pick matchup and winner.
Okay. Why don't you go first? I need a minute.
All right. I think in the AFC, I realize the Patriots are the Patriots, but my choice would be, I think the AFC championship game, assuming the brackets line up, is Colts Chiefs.
Ooh.
And I think the Chiefs win that. And so it's Chiefs versus, I don't know how to pick anybody besides Philadelphia in the NFC. Like,
it's hard to get there.
I think if Trubisky's good, the Bears have a shot. I think if Cousins doesn't trip over his own feet, the Vikings have an outside shot. Yep. I think Seattle or Los Angeles could maybe, but I'd probably pick Seattle out of that division.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to go Eagles Chiefs.
Yeah, I like it, dude. I'm actually going Eagles Colts. It's going to be the Frank Reich Bowl. So it's going to be Reich coaching against his old team, coaching against Doug Peterson. I just think the Eagles have built just a juggernaut of a roster there.
Yeah.
You know,
are they bad?
They're not bad anywhere. I mean, the only thing that
I don't understand.
I know it. The only thing that hurts the Eagles is if Carson Wentz can't stay healthy. then they're starting Nate Sudfeld and maybe their season's over. Although Sudfeld, I trust Doug Peterson's instincts at this point so much that I'm not really ready to write them off, even if Carson gets hurt.
I mean, to be fair, that's true for literally every competitive team. That loses their starting quarterback has no shot at winning, period. Like they might make it to the playoffs, but no backup quarterback is leading a team to the Super Bowl. And yes, I realize Nick Foles did it very recently, but
and there's another one I like, Teddy Bridgewater. That one hurts. Hits a little close to home.
You know, here's the thing. I
love him.
I love Drew Brees. I want Drew Brees to retire after this year because I want Teddy Bridgewater to be an NFL starter so bad. And I would love to have him play for a real NFL coach, too.
That would be fun. It would be so much fun. Yeah, I think he could be really good. So yeah,
he does fall in that category. That's true. Because he's an experienced, legitimate guy who has started kind of in the Foles model where like he's been in some good situations, bad situations, and he's in a system that would play to his strengths, too. So, yes. But generally speaking,
that list is really short.
Cliff.
What other backup quarterback would you want? Jacoby Brissett, maybe? I mean, he's in that discussion, but it's a really short list. So yeah, I'm going Colts, Eagles, and I think the Eagles win it. I think they're just more of a complete team than Indianapolis is. As highly as I think of Andrew Luck, Frank Reich, Marlon Mack, Quentin Nelson, the team that they've put together there.
What's their defensive? Is it Darius Leonard? Is that his
Darius
name?
Darius Leonard, good linebacker. Great off-ball, 2019 off-ball linebacker. I mean, he's in that, to me, like, you know, Jalen Smith, Miles Jack, Luke Kuechly kind of mold where he can go sideline to sideline and just be a real athlete.
I do have to say, with either of the matchups that we picked, that would be a really fun Super Bowl. Like good defenses, good offenses, good coaches.
Yeah. Coaches kind of that you like.
Yes.
Like, I mean, history, those guys are both really likable, history of success. It'd be a fun Super Bowl, man.
Good fan bases, too, all of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have gear from both teams, so that would work out.
You have Eagles gear?
Yeah. Tristan bought a Zach Ertz jersey this last year because of the writing project that I may or may not have helped Zach Ertz do at one point.
Hypothetically.
So, hypothetically. So, yeah, we are now Zach Ertz jersey owners. So,
well, Zach Ertz, assuming health, spectacularly good.
Dude, 113 catches last year at the tight end position. That's freaky.
Yeah, he's so good.
Different kind of tight end than Gronk, but really, really effective. I mean, Zach Ertz to me is almost like a Chris Carter. You know, he's the ultimate possession receiver.
Yeah, he's like a next-gen Jason Witten.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Jason Witten was like 9,500 catches periodically, but he was like thick and slow. And Ertz is like lean and athletic, but is still that just sort of – he's the third down glue guy who he's
– Oh, yeah.
You need 6 yards, he'll get you seven every single time.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's a fun player to watch for sure. Piper, this has been enjoyable, man. We have we've gone close to an hour here, if not longer, so – an hour and six, man. Long episode for our fans. So we owed
them after a couple months off.
Yeah, a couple months of just laying in the weeds here sports wise, and now we're back, man, and football's back, and we're gonna have a lot to talk about. So Piper, until next time, we need a name, dude. I've totally blanked on the names here.
Let's get a good
NFL name.
Well, I think Teddy Bridgewater won't get a lot of playing time this year, so I think he should get the sign off.
Let's do it. We have wandered to and fro throughout these topics, and until next time, Teddy Bridgewater.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hello, hello. Punice Petway here, co-host of the Your Daily Bible Verse podcast. Are you someone who loves to take a deep dive into God's Word, one verse at a time, to explore His will for your life and desire to draw closer to Him? If that sounds like you, I'd love to invite you to head over to lifeaudio.com and search Your Daily Bible Verse to tune in and subscribe for daily inspiration, life application, and spiritual transformation through the in-depth exploration of God's Word.